of Deuteronomy chapter 12 tonight. We're not quite going to reach the end of the chapter, but we'll get most of the way through this chapter. The end of the chapter really starts another topic. And so we'll be on 15 through 28 today. That's 14 verses. Review from last week that we did 14 verses. Remember that chapter 12 started this new section in Moses' second message to the Israelites as they prepare to enter the promised land. And we asked this question last week, which is, how should we worship the Lord? And it's really written from the perspective of Israel. In the new place they're going, how is Israel to worship the Lord? And I'm going to summarize this a little bit more than we did last week, make it a little shorter. But basically this way, we're not supposed to worship the Lord the way the Canaanites do. We're not supposed to worship the way that we are doing it. That's the way that Moses put it, that we are doing it right now, and not the way that you want to do it when you enter the promised land. Instead, the Lord's way, the Lord dictates, the Lord tells us how we are to worship. And so these 3 points that we have in yellow here, the yellow part, are really taken directly from the text. Here's what it says in verse 4, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, referring to the Canaanite way, the way that they did, where they put shrines, altars, pillars on every high mountain and on hills and under every green tree. Don't worship the Lord that way. You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today. So as Israel is practicing worship on the other side of the Jordan, we're not supposed to do it this way either. We're going to have one place to worship. You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today. Everyone doing whatever is right in his own eyes. That is something we're not supposed to do. We're supposed to do what is right in the Lord's eyes. And then guard yourself lest you offer burnt offerings at any place that you see. So don't do that. There you should, but at the place the Lord will choose, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings. So there's going to be one place for all of Israel to go to offer their sacrifices and their gifts to the Lord, and there you shall do all that I am commanding you. So that's what we're to do. We're to worship the way that the Lord tells us to worship, which moves us right through into this passage tonight. I'll read right through the 14 verses that we have, and then we'll come back and study it. So this is picks up right where that last verse that we just read was, Deuteronomy 12:15. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within any of your towns, as much as you desire, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, as of the gazelle and as of the deer. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. You may not eat within your towns the tithe of your grain or of your new wine or of your oil or the firstborn of your herd or of the flock or any of the vow offerings that you vow or your free will offerings or the contribution that you present. But you shall eat them before the Lord your God in the place that the Lord your God will choose. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your towns. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you undertake. Take care that you do not neglect the Levite as long as you live in your land. When the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he has promised you, and you say, I will eat meat, because you crave meat, you may eat meat whenever you desire. If the place that the Lord your God will choose to put his name there is too far from you, then you may kill any of your herd or your flock, which the Lord has given you, as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your towns whenever you desire. Just as the gazelle or the deer is eaten, so you may eat of it. The unclean and the clean alike may eat of it. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood. For the blood is the life, and you shall not eat the life with the flesh. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that all may go well with you and with your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. But the holy things that are due from you and your vow offerings you shall take, and you shall go to the place that the Lord will choose and offer your burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, but the flesh you may eat. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. So this morning, when we were in church, up on the screen popped references that Pastor Randy was going to refer to, and when 1 Corinthians 10:31 popped up, I leaned over to Brenda and said, I'm using that verse tonight. I'm actually quite surprised, and I shouldn't be really, how often the study of Deuteronomy, we refer to the same text as we do in the study of Mark. And if you have been around long enough to know, it shouldn't surprise us, because that is the most quoted book by Jesus in the New Testament, Deuteronomy is. And also, it is just, when you think of the New Testament, it's kind of their main, the Jewish people, it's kind of their main book that everything else is based on. Well, this doesn't look good. See if this will work. Okay, there we go. But anyway, it's the book. And so as Paul writes, he's thinking of Deuteronomy. I think it's highly likely that when he writes 1 Corinthians 10:31, he has Deuteronomy in the back of his mind. He was an expert in Deuteronomy, and here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So this passage in 1 Corinthians that I just read, 10:31, it comes toward the end of a section where Paul is talking about eating meat that was sacrificed to idols, and how, what we should do about that. And Paul says some surprising things for us, really, in that passage. Like this: eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. So Paul knew that a large amount of the meat that would be sold in the meat market would have been all offered to altars, to other gods on altars. So it would have been offered to idols who didn't eat it, right? So they put it for sale. But Paul tells you, eat whatever's there. Whatever you find, and don't ask any questions about it. That's kind of a surprising thing. For me, it's a surprising thing. It's probably a surprising thing for you as well. So based on that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's what we're going to talk about today, eating to the glory of God. And we'll just have 2 points here. from Deuteronomy 12, 15 to 28. And we will refer to each of those 2 points twice, because that's what Moses did. And so we're going to do the same thing. It's a really pretty straightforward text. We're going to follow it. So the first thing is eating in your towns. And then the second point is eating in the place that the Lord chooses. So the place that the Lord chooses is the place where he chooses to have his name dwell. In other words, it's the place that he owns, the place that it is that he is to be worshipped. So Tige, this Jewish scholar that I read every week, divides these two things, these same 2 points basically, as the sacrificial and the secular. In other words, the secular is what you do in your own town, and the sacrificial is what you do in the place that the Lord your God chooses. Now, Daniel Block would take issue with Tige, probably read Tige, because he makes a point to say this. And this isn't a quote, but there's no such thing as secular eating here. This passage doesn't refer to secularism. He calls it the sacred and the profane, and by profane he means common, that way. So it's the way you commonly eat and the way that you eat in a sacred way. So commonly in your town, in a sacred way where you worship the Lord, in the place that you worship the Lord. And we should be thinking like Block. We should be thinking like Daniel Block. That there really isn't anything we do that's secular. There is no secular living with Christians. Just think about the verse. So whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Hard to do that as a secular thing. It's not a secular thing. So eating in your towns, this is where, again, Moses will make each of these points twice as we go through in verses 15 to 19 and then 20 through 28. So, however, you may slaughter and eat meat within any of your towns, as much as you desire, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, as of the gazelle and as of the deer. So there's a lot in this verse, but what is it? What's it about? Well, two things. It's a provision for, or as Daniel Block likes to put in these things, an invitation for Israel to enjoy the Lord's blessing in the promised land. So it's an invitation for them to enjoy the Lord's blessing. And it's different from how they enjoyed it in the wilderness. And so that's what's going on here. And secondly, it's about this. We don't want to lose sight of that it's about this. It's about not worshiping the Lord the Canaanite way, but worshiping the Lord the way that he desires to be worship. So right before this verse, remember, this is what Moses said. Guard yourself, lest you offer your burnt offerings at any place that you see. But at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I am commanding you. In other words, this one place, that is where you are to sacrifice. That is where you are to bring the Lord's tithes and the Lord's offerings. This one place. There's only one place in the new Israel where they are to make burnt offerings. There's only one place at a time anyway. It moves. But there's only one place you're to bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. There's only one place to offer sacrifices, which would have been eaten by the people who offered it, the family who offered it. In most cases, those sacrifices were eaten there. But there's only one place to do these things, the place that the Lord your God chooses. So with that in the background, however makes sense, right? However, even though all this is true, even though there's only one place, even though you are to offer those sacrifices only in one place, you may slaughter and eat meat within any of your towns. The same word is sacrifice, basically. But this probably seems like a no-brainer to us. Of course we can do this, right? Of course we can eat meat as we want to. But this was really a surprising revelation for Israel, that they could do this. So why would that be? Well, when they were in the wilderness, they were only permitted to eat beef or mutton or goat by the tabernacle, at the tabernacle. That was the only thing, the only time they could do that. These were their domestic animals. They could use them. They could, as they get into the promised land, they could plow with them. They could take milk from them. They could make all kinds of milk products from them. They could shear them. They could use them, but they didn't eat them except as part of sacrifices. So only on special occasions would they eat their domestic animals. So, and they were not eaten in common places. They were only eaten in sacred places. So this is a surprise to Israel. In the past, eating these animals was done just as part of the sacrifices. So that's what they did. So they didn't do that. So in the wilderness, the people lived pretty close to the tabernacle. In fact, Israel camped around the tabernacle. That was the center of the camp. And so nobody had to go very far. And they would only eat this domestic meat on special occasions as the Lord had laid them out. But they're going into the promised land now. So this is different as they go into the promised land. Instead of having animals that were trying to survive in the wilderness, they would be going into this great land, this flourishing land, where the livestock could multiply freely. Right? They would grow, their herds would grow, they would become more wealthy, they would have an abundance of domestic animals as they come into the promised land. And so as they come into the promised land, they might be far away from the tabernacle. You may slaughter and eat meat within any of your towns. Again, this would have been surprising to them. It's a new blessing to the Israel that they could eat their own livestock. So that sounds a little strange to us. Why, if they had cattle, for instance, would they not have eaten them? So many of you know that Brenda and I have spent some time in South Sudan, and they have cattle. They generally do not eat them. I always think of, you know, this is going, if you go to South Sudan in this area, that this nomadic area, semi-nomadic area, it's like going back 4,000 years in time. If you want to understand the things that are going in Genesis with Abraham, just go there. So they have cattle. They don't eat them, generally. It takes a really special occasion for them to eat cattle, to eat a cow, because they are their wealth, right? They will use them for, they will take milk from them. They will, but they won't even, some of the, Brenda talks to some of the women there, and they're frustrated at this. They don't have any money. They just have cows. And the husband won't sell a cow so the child can get medical treatment. They're that valuable, right? You don't eat them except like at a wedding. Basically, you don't do that. Well, in the Bible, God often surprises us with special blessings, and it's kind of amazing, really, when you think about it, just through the survey of the Bible, how often that involves eating meat. So here's a surprise. It's a surprise for me. As much as you desire. So were you expecting that? Eat meat. As much as you desire. So in America, we've got that part down pat. Probably to the point that it's no longer a blessing, right? So, but because God does warn us against gluttony, and here it can actually affect our health in a different way, but he includes it here. As much as you desire, you may slaughter and eat meat within your towns as much as you desire. But he does qualify it this way, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you, which means what you can afford. So you can eat as much meat as you desire as long as you can. The Lord has blessed you with the ability to afford it. And when they come into the promised land, they are going to have an abundance. And they get to enjoy what the Lord has given them. So just yesterday I was talking to my sister, who is not from Sioux Falls, the other one, but just talking about this whole concept, this on the back of my mind, other things on my mind, that how often that things that really aren't, you know, in the big scheme of things, aren't really that important. But God gives them to us anyway, just because we're his children. They were eating gazelles and deer, and they were getting by on gazelles and deer and whatever other meat they would have eaten. But instead, he gives them their domestic animals to eat that they hadn't been doing before. God just being kind to his people. So back to the text. So in the wilderness, when they were traveling around and they were sacrificing and eating the sacrifices that they could do, only people who were ceremonially clean could eat from that sacrifice. But in the promised land, in your own town, the clean and the unclean may eat of it. So animals that were once just suitable for sacrifice are now suitable for consumption, and everybody gets to eat them, where before that wasn't the case. So go ahead, slaughter them, eat them as much as you desire, as much as the Lord gives you, just like you would as a gazelle or a deer. So gazelle and deer, they're both clean animals. They're both animals that split the hoof and chew the cud, as is in, we're going to get to later in Deuteronomy. So the Israelites could eat them. And guys like me like this verse, like the end of this verse, right? Because it implies that Israel was doing this. They would eat gazelle and deer, which means they would have to hunt them because they couldn't eat things that they would find dead. No roadkill. They're not allowed to eat that. But in Genesis chapter 9, so go back a ways, Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, God gives meat to people to eat. So in Genesis 9, it says this, actually, only you shall not eat the blood, or something almost identical to that. Genesis 9, here's that passage, 9 verses 1 through 4. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, which was what he had told Adam and Eve. Right? So now we've had the flood. Now it's Noah and his families. So do this, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth command. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. So don't eat meat with blood in it, with the blood in it. So that's how the whole kosher thing comes about, right? The slitting of the throat for the animal. So, you know, when I was young, it was common even for, as he says here, treat it like a gazelle or a deer, pour out the blood on the earth like water. It was common that when somebody would shoot a deer, they would slit the throat. That was a common thing. I don't see that much anymore. But that was a common thing. Get the blood out of it. Get the blood out of the animals. Deer and gazelles, they were common animals. So they're not sacred animals. They're common. They're clean. You can eat them. But they're not sacred. They're not to be offered as sacrifices. So they can now eat their domestic animals just like they could a common, clean animal. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. In other words, eat it like he says. It's common, but do it for the glory of God, which would mean don't eat the blood. Eating in the place that the Lord chooses. You may not eat within your towns. So here are the things that you may not eat. There's a clear distinction here between what you can eat and what you can't eat. You may not eat within your towns the tithe of your grain, or of your wine, or of your oil, or of the firstborn of your herd, or of your flock, or of any of your vow offerings that you vow, or your free will offerings, or the contribution that you present. So last week as we went through this, there were seven of the things here. This isn't the full list, but it represents the full list. So this is in keeping with the idea that they have to do these things at the one place that the Lord chooses, right? So guard yourself lest you offer your burnt offerings at any place that you see, but at the place that the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I am commanding you. So Israel was to separate out the things that belonged to the Lord and not eat them in their own towns. They had to take them to the one place where they would eat. You may not eat within your towns the tithe of the grain of your grain, or of your wine, or of your oil, or of the firstborn of your herd, or of your flock, or any of the vow offerings that you vow, or your free will offerings, or the contribution that you present. So 10% of what you produce belongs to the Lord. You can't use that in your hometown, right? You have to take it to the sanctuary, or to the tabernacle, or to the temple later. Your firstborn of all your animals and your people, by the way, belong to the Lord. Your vows and your offerings belong to the Lord. They're to be, you cannot use them for your own purposes, and you can't eat these things within your own town. But you shall eat them before the Lord your God in the place that the Lord your God will choose. So these are the sacred things, as Block put it, as opposed to the profane or the common things. So your offerings, your tithes, your sacrifices, your vow offerings. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your town. So notice family members there get to participate in this. And then he adds the Levites. Again, the Levites were the tribe that was responsible for the tabernacle and responsible for the temple. And so they didn't get to own the same, they didn't get land for their tribe when they got into Israel. So they didn't have the kind of inheritance that the rest of Israel had. So they represent needy people. They represent loving your neighbor as yourself. So, the Levites, take care of them with your offerings as well. And you shall rejoice, or as Block likes to put it here, and you shall celebrate before the Lord your God in all that you undertake. Take care that, so you know that I'm going to change this, guard yourself lest you neglect the Levite as long as you live in your land. Be careful. Beware. Don't neglect your neighbor. Don't neglect the Levite in this case. Make sure that the Levite is taking place. I think it's interesting that that's the last of the instructions he gives this first time around. Take care of other people with your sacrifices. So back to eating to the glory of God. Now Moses is going to go through that a second time with a little bit more detail. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So Moses is going to do it again. So we'll start with eating in your towns. And when the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he has promised you, in other words, when you get into this new land that the Lord has promised you, into the promised land, Israel today is about the size of New Jersey. So that's how much room there is. And you say, I will eat meat, because you crave meat. You may eat meat whenever you desire. So not surprising, we just heard this, right? In a few different words. If the place that the Lord your God will choose to put his name there is too far from you. So New Jersey is a small state. But if you had to walk it, it might take you a while. So Israelite men, and they could take their families, were required to report to the tabernacle, later the temple, 3 times a year. Right? They would have to come 3 times a year to offer these sacrifices. And they had to make sure they came with. They were not to come empty-handed, as we're going to see later in Deuteronomy. But it would have been a long way to travel. So the point is, you don't have to wait for one of those 3 times of the year to be able to eat the meat from your domestic animals. So God is making this new provision for you, really for your enjoyment. So it's a blessing. It's a surprise blessing to them. They don't have to kill a gazelle or a deer or something else. So, I don't know how many of you are hunters, but I do know this, that wild game tastes like wild game. And beef tastes better, right? Generally speaking, unless you might be able to make a case for elk. But beef tastes better than deer. I've never had gazelle. But it tastes better. So this isn't the last time that the Lord will give a surprising command that you can eat something new. So we're going to turn to, you probably know where I'm going with this, Acts chapter 11. Actually, Peter is going to be recounting what happened to him earlier. I think it's in chapter 10. Chapter 11, starting in verse 5, Peter talking. I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So these would have been all things that the Jews were not supposed to eat. But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. So this was also symbolic of that we're not supposed to consider the Gentiles unclean anymore. But to take seriously what it says about food, because the early church did take seriously what it said about food here. The things that as the church moves out of Jerusalem into other areas where Gentiles live, God makes provision for what Peter just saw in that vision. Gentiles can come without having to adopt the Jewish laws about eating. Just as the gazelle or the deer is eaten, so you may eat of it. The unclean and the clean alike may eat of it. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you shall not eat the life with the flesh. So that's almost right out of Genesis 9. For only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, the blood. So how seriously are we supposed to take this command today? Especially in light of what we just read in Acts, where Peter has all kinds of animals come down, reptiles, etc., and he can eat them in the vision, right? Well, the church took this into account, and James, the brother of Jesus at the Jerusalem Council, as they were considering, what do we do about these Gentiles who become Christians? What do we do about them? They don't have the same Jewish laws, and many people wanted them to become Jews so that they could become Christians. Here's what James, the brother of Jesus, said. They turned to him last. They let him speak last. He's like the defining voice in this argument. And here's what he says. It says in Acts 15, starting in verse 19. "Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God." Don't trouble them, right? "But should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood." So these are the things that we think the Gentiles need to keep including from the things that we as Jews practices. And why would that matter? Why would he say those four things? Well, the next verse tells us, "Because from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogue." So there were Jews all over the Roman Empire, right? And they had this witness of Moses right here. For years and years and years, they've had this witness of Moses. And Block would point out that this is a command going, if you take it clear back to the flood, this is a command for all mankind. Don't eat the blood. It goes back to when there was just one family on the earth. Likewise, the other things on this list would have been widely accepted as these apply to all people. Don't commit sexual immorality. Don't be polluted by idols. We're supposed to worship the one true God. So, how seriously are we supposed to take that? So, you know, and I'm going to go back to South Sudan for a minute. Not really, but in conversation. So, they have the practice of, if things get really, really, really bad, they won't kill their cattle to eat. Instead, they will take blood from the live cattle. There are a couple of things to think about with that. They're trying to sustain life in a case when people would be dying of starvation. Secondly, T.G.A. points this out, the Jewish scholar. It doesn't say, don't drink blood. It says, don't eat blood. And specifically, that means don't eat the flesh with the blood in it. Drain the blood out on the ground. Specifically says that. And T.G.A. just makes the point. He just makes the point. He could have said, don't drink the blood, if that's what he meant. He meant, don't eat the blood with the flesh, or eat the flesh with the blood in it. I don't know how that applies to South Sudan, but I think Block makes a good point that this goes back to when there was just one family on the earth. It's a command that's issued to everybody, like be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It's a command like that. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that all may go well with you and with your children after you, and when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. So this is a great principle here, that we follow God's laws. Why do we follow God's laws? And why does somebody like Albert Mohler say, you know, it's really a good thing for us to try to bring Christian principles to advocate for those things in government, to advocate for laws like no on G? Why? Why is that a good thing? It's loving our neighbors. It's good for our neighbors, right? It's good for our neighbors if babies aren't aborted. That's a good thing for our neighbors, right? It's good for our neighbors if we follow God's designs. It's good for our neighbors if people follow laws. It's good for our neighbors if government puts into things that discourage people from breaking laws. That's a good thing, because God's laws are about loving our neighbor as ourself. So, here's a literal translation of this, what I just had up on the screen. But the holy things, or the next one is going to be the literal translation. But the holy things, the things that are due from you. Here's a more literal translation. But your holy things that are yours, which are yours, and your vow offerings, you shall take and you shall go to the place that the Lord will choose. It's your responsibility to make sure the things that are dedicated to the Lord go to the Lord. And offer your burnt offerings and the flesh and the blood and the altar of the Lord your God. The blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God. So even there, the blood's a big deal to God. But the flesh you may eat. Be careful to obey, or guard and obey, more literal again. Guard and obey all these words that I command you. And here's why: that it may go well with you. and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. So how do we do that today? How do we eat to the glory of God today? Well, I'm not going to read the passage, but if you want to do it, 1 Corinthians 10, 23-33, you know, the part that includes whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There are some principles that are just laid out there very simply for you to see. Just start at verse 23 and start and go down with what Paul says and just track it, and you'll see that these are the things that we should think about if we're going to eat to the glory of God. One, am I seeking the good of my neighbor when I decide what to eat or drink? Two, am I avoiding offending other people's consciences? Three, am I able to do this with thankfulness to the Lord? Four, am I doing this for God's glory? Five, am I trying not to offend Jews and Greeks and the church? In other words, all people, basically. Trying not to offend them. Am I pleasing others rather than myself? Am I acting for my profit or for that of others? Am I doing this that others may be saved? And that's the last one that Paul brings up. When you eat or you drink or whatever you do, are you doing it with the idea that what you do is about saving other people? That's what you find when Paul talks about whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Let's close in prayer and then we'll have our final hymn. Father, we thank you for your lesson to us today from Deuteronomy. Pray that you would help us to understand not only your word, but ourselves, in order that we can conform ourselves to your word, the image of your Son. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.